Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, there's an exam today, so you're not to hold me back, and I have to finish nice and promptly on time. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. This is a lovely parable. I do like this parable, if only because it reminds us that the Lord is coming again. And then he tells us what it is he's going to do when he does come. And especially there is revealed for us here what he's going to say to his own people. And if you're saved today, if you're saved, you're reading here the words the Lord will speak to you when he comes again. There are very few indeed. There are none outside of the people of God and those who believe the Bible who are given such information regarding the future. Here we see what will happen when the Lord Jesus comes again. Let's read then a few verses, because we're going a little further today, if we can. We'll read, please, from the verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For, you know the word for, is always the first word in an explanation. When somebody's going to explain something, they usually start with the word for. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. May the Lord bless the reading of those few words to our heart. We're going to continue to look at what it is the Savior will say to his sheep when he comes in great glory at the end of this age. I did point out to you that when he comes and gathers together all the professing Christians, those who are real and those who are not real, they only went about pretending to be Christians, but they're all gathered now. The sheep, the real, the goats, the pretended Christians. And we noticed how that the Savior spoke to the sheep first. You're ever on his heart if you're truly saved. You're ever on his heart. And when he comes again, he will immediately speak to you and say some wonderful things to you. And what he says there, we read it in the verse 34, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We notice how that he addresses us by a special title, the blessed of the Father. And we considered what that was, and I'll not go over that again. But I want you to notice then, secondly, he says, Come and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Boys and girls, listen, I could never announce more wonderful news than this. There is an inheritance awaiting every one of you who is saved. An inheritance. Now, there's been many a person who has been ushered into a solicitor's or a lawyer's office, and they've sort of come trembling, saying, I wonder what this man wants with me. Because lawyers and solicitors, well, they don't always bring good news. But they come in, they sit down, and they look at the old lawyer, and he says, I have some news for you. You have been left £1 million by an old uncle who went away to Australia or to America or to wherever, and he recently died, and he has written in his will, I want all my money to go to you. Now, you can imagine the shock and the joy that such an announcement would bring to anybody that was brought into a lawyer's office and given that news. But I'm telling you, news today far exceeds the news that any lawyer could give. I don't care if a lawyer said to you today that somebody has left you all the gold in the world, or all the jewels in the world, or all the gold and the jewels and the silver and whatever in the world. That news would not be as wonderful or as great as the news that I am imparting to you today from the Bible. There is an inheritance compiled by God, written into God's will for you. If you're saved, I have to say that. I have to emphasize that. I'm not talking to you if you're not saved. It's only for those who are saved, this inheritance. Come, ye blessed of my Father. If you don't have the blessing of the Father upon you, then the invitation to embrace the inheritance isn't for you. That's why every time we're here and every time anyone is here speaking to you, they emphasize that you must be born again. You must be born again. You'll never go to heaven and enjoy all that is in heaven, boys and girls. You must be born again. Don't let the devil tell you or anyone else tell you, oh, it's enough you went to a Christian school, it's enough you go to Sunday school, you attend church, you even read your Bible, and you even say, this Bible, it's a holy book, it's the Word of God. That's not enough. The devil knows this is God's Word. It says in the Bible that the devils believe the Bible, and they tremble at what they read in it, but they're not saved. And it's not enough for you to have all these religious activities accounted to you. You must be born again. So important. So important. So here's what the Savior says. Come, he says, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. There's an inheritance awaiting the Christian. How long would it take you to spend £1 million? A long time. Well, there was a lady written up in the newspaper there just a month ago who lives in County Tyrone, and she won millions on some lottery or other. And I think something like 10 million, I can't be 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure, something like 10 million of her winnings have gone. And she only won that, came into possession of that, a few years ago. A few years ago. And all that money's gone. She says she's only left with a little. And that's not unknown. Because I can remember reading on many occasions those who came into such a fortune of money, and within a short time, it had all gone. So when I say how long would it take you to spend £1 million, if you were wise, you could never really spend it. For you would invest a lot of it, and it in turn then would make more money so that you would never really spend it all. But you'll spend £1 million, you'll spend £100 million, £1 million, a lot quicker than you will ever spend the inheritance that God has for you. In fact, you could never spend all of God's inheritance. It will last forever. Oh, how I wish to get across to you this morning the wonders, the glories of that which awaits the child of God. I want you to say to yourself, if that's the case, I want to be a child of God. If that's what awaits the child of God, I want to be a child of God. May the Lord stir such thoughts in your heart. There's an inheritance awaiting the children of God, the Christian. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Hebrews chapter 1 and the verse 14 says that we are, that is, Christians, are the heirs of salvation. You know what an heir is. An heir, I'll stop there and say we often read in the newspapers of members of the royal family like Prince William, and it says he's the heir to the throne, because one day, if he lives, he'll sit upon the throne of the United Kingdom. He's the heir to the throne. It's coming to him. It's written down that he gets it. Well, when you're an heir of God, it means that you have it written down for you that what God has for you will come to you. And in Hebrews 1 and 14, you're the heir of salvation. And all that that word means will be yours. It's written down in heaven. It's written down. God has it written down. Christian, you are an heir of salvation. And all, as I say, that that refers to will be yours one day. Well, we have another word used here in our text, Hebrews 1:14, heir of salvation. That's what's coming. The Lord Jesus says, here we're heirs of a kingdom. You see, what God has reserved for his people is so wonderful. It takes many, many words to describe. It's called salvation. A word that means deliverance from every ill, every trouble, every darkness, every woe, and the stepping into every joy. That's what that means. But what God has reserved for you is greater even than that. It's a kingdom. He has a kingdom for you that's yours. Inherit the kingdom. Inherit the kingdom. You know what that means? Well, I'll tell you what that means. I should humbly bow before a lot of you because you're kings. If you have a kingdom, that means you're a king. Did you ever think of that? It's true. Every Christian is a king. They don't always behave as kings. They don't always look like kings. But nevertheless, they're kings. They're kings. One day the Lord is going to say to every Christian, inherit the kingdom. Let me just show you some verse that supports what I say with regards you being a king, if you're Christians. The last book of the Bible, and the very first chapter, this book was written by John the Apostle, wonderful man, and he was nearly 100 years old when he wrote this. When he wrote this, he was the last of the apostles. All the other apostles were dead. Most of them, if not all of them, martyred, put to death violently by the agents of the devil. And here John is writing this last book of the Bible in which he gives a picture of events that are going to take place in this world. They have yet to take place in this world. Look then at Revelation chapter 1 and we'll start with verse 4. Like all writers of the Bible, there is always an introduction, the way you should write a letter, very properly. Say who's writing it and say who you're writing to. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne, or the sevenfold spirit, the spirit with seven wonderful ministries, before the throne. That's the throne of God. And from Jesus Christ. So this letter to the seven churches is coming from the Father. That's his name there. He who is, which was, and is to come. And then the Holy Spirit. And then also Jesus Christ. This is a letter from the triune God to the churches, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Tell me, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb today? Are you? That's who this letter is addressed to. Not just the seven churches, but we're allowed years, centuries later, to look at it and see that it's addressed to us as well. Washed in the blood. And, oh, here's something else. We're not only washed in the blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Made us kings and priests. Now, remember this. This letter was delivered first and foremost to the seven churches of Asia. And the minister in those seven churches, he would have stood up one Sabbath morning and he would have read this letter to the people in those churches, among whom were slaves, poor widow women, orphans. And he said to them, "You're kings. God has made you a king as a result of the Savior's death on Calvary when he shed his blood and he's washed away your sins, and more than that, as well as that, he has made you a king." Can you imagine the amazement there was amongst those people? I'm making the same announcement today. If you're saved, little boy, little girl, big girl, big boy, you're a king in God's eyes. And as such, there's a kingdom coming to you one day. You're allowed now to have some taste of that kingdom. You're allowed a foretaste of the pleasures and the benefits and the powers of that kingdom. But one day we will enter into it in all its fullness. The last chapters of the book of the Revelation, and now I must close. Revelation chapter 20. Here we have the coming again of the Lord Jesus. And as a result of his coming, the saints of God are raised from the dead. And they join with those Christians who will be alive when Jesus comes. And we are told in verse 4 of chapter 20, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They're reigning with Christ. You see, they have received the invitation that we're looking at in Matthew 25. Come, inherit the kingdom. Here they are, inheriting it. Or beginning to inherit it. They're sitting on thrones and they're ruling the world with Christ. It's a massive and glorious subject. Boys and girls, I cannot emphasize enough that before you today, there is this prospect. If you're saved, and only if you're saved, let's bow in prayer. Please, Lord, drive home to hearts this truth for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.